At Spikes Tactical, we are all shooters with a very simple mission. Make the best product we can perfect at the best possible price for our consumers. We strive to produce the best components and rifles available, with quality control second to none, because real-world events don't allow for a second chance. Whether you are an operator, competitor, or home defender, Spikes Tactical will serve you well. Go to SpikesTactical.com. Spikes Tactical, 100% American-made to the highest standard. What's in a name? If that name is Ace Firearms, you've just entered a very expensive business. First, a fully appointed gun shop with all the guns, ammo, and accessories you could possibly imagine. But then you enter the manufacturing facility that is home to Red Alligator Concealment, Militia Arms Customs, and so much more. Ace Firearms is beyond a simple gun shop. This is a totally peerless operation. To find out more, go to acefirearms.com. Ace Firearms. This is only the beginning.
Rampant hacking, identity theft, mass surveillance. Defending yourself today is not an option. It's a requirement. Introducing the Conceal Shield Travel Pack from DefenderShield.com. Conceal Shield is cutting-edge wireless blocking technology that eliminates all signals, including EMF, GPS, and RFID. Place cell phones, credit cards, IDs, and other trackable items into the Conceal Shield, and they become totally invisible. Get Conceal Shield now at DefenderShield.com. Use promo code CONCEAL for 10% off. Guard your privacy, secure your data, and protect your health with Conceal Shield.
At Chambers Custom, we have one job. We strive to build the most obsessively reliable, accurate, and beautiful pistols for the discriminating gun owner. Fusing the ageless 1911 design with a 21st century approach to each part and component, Chambers Custom meticulously begins each pistol as a standalone project, creating a bespoke, handcrafted, peerless firearm. They integrate all of the internal, external, and intrinsic elements that make a custom 1911 unique. Go to ChambersCustom.com. Chambers Custom, truly the mechanical advantage.
Now's your chance to get the last of the Resolution Radio Blood Tees. Only a few left available before we try to do a reorder. This has been a high-selling item, and we really appreciate everyone's support in getting this shirt and showing their pride as well as showing their heritage. Nothing counts more than blood. Get yours today from Resolution Radio. Only $25 plus $5 shipping and handling. It really helps the network improve, and you really get a great product to showcase what you truly believe in. Nothing counts more than blood. Only from Resolution Radio at ResolutionRDO.com. Send check, money order, or well-concealed cash to Sonny Thomas at P.O. Box 27, Springboro, Ohio, 45066. That's Sonny Thomas at P.O. Box 27, Springboro, Ohio, 45066.
Power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
You've made a serious investment in protecting yourself and your family. You've purchased the gun, the ammunition, the training, and even secured a license to carry in your state. You know the Constitution and don't believe you should have to pay for a right that you already have, as written in the Second Amendment, but you are law-abiding. Now you are considering the legal defense options you should have if you ever have to use a firearm. Self-Defense Fund is a comprehensive litigation membership backing you on appeals, legal expenses, court costs, and more. Up to $1 million per incident and unlimited attorney costs per member. Discover selfdefensefund.com for yourself. Any weapon, any state, any time.
You're listening to Resolution Radio. ResolutionRDO.com.
From the great state of Ohio, Buckeye Firearms Association presents Keep and Bear Radio, fighting for Second Amendment rights, calling out media lies, and telling the gun grabbers to come and take it. Now, Keith and Bear Radio.
Hollywood makes some great movies and TV shows, but they don't always get the details right, especially when it comes to guns. Bad guys fly backwards across the room when they're shot, guns never seem to run out of ammo, and fingers are on triggers all the time. Learning gun handling from movies is a recipe for disaster, so we're going to set the record straight on stuff Hollywood gets wrong on guns. That's what we're going to talk about on this episode of Keep and Bear Radio. I'm Dean Reek, Executive Director of Buckeye Firearms Association, and I'm joined by Sean Maloney, firearms attorney and co-founder of Second Call Defense. Hi, Sean. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Dean. It's great to be back, by the way. And this is going to be kind of a fun topic day, although we're going to take it with some seriousness also.
Yeah, Sean, I know what you're talking about. I'm a big movie fan, and I'm always going to the theater to see one thing or another. And, you know, we got to talking about this, about stuff in movies where Hollywood just gets it wrong on guns. And we came up with this list that was so long, we thought, well, why don't we do, you know, a podcast on this? You know, the idea here is not to pick on movies. It's the idea that people actually learn from movies and TV shows. And there's so much bad stuff that they do with guns. I thought we could talk about it just to help people handle guns properly, avoid accidents, stay out of legal trouble. What do you think? Does that sound kind of fun?
Oh, exactly. And I echo your same sentiments, because I can go down to a range at any one time after a new movie comes out, a Wick movie, or something like that, and you see those same mistakes that nobody should ever make with a firearm being duplicated on the range because they just saw it at the movie.
Well, now, the John Wick movies are actually a lot better than most movies. Keanu Reeves trained a lot. I've seen video of him training on it. He went to an actual range with real guns, real ammo, and he was doing IDPA stuff. Now, he doesn't get everything right. It's still the movies, but it's definitely a lot better than what you see. Another guy, Tom Cruise, if you remember, there was a movie, what was that called, Collateral, where he was an assassin, and he was driving around in a taxi, and he was, you know, taking out all kinds of guys, and his training looked like it was a lot better than normal. So not perfect, there's still stuff to criticize, but you don't see a lot of effort put into this, Sean, when you go to the movies. Just bad gun handling, you know, terrible mistakes all the time.
You know, the terrible mistakes and everything from post 1986, people walking in these movies, walking into a gun store and buying a fully automatic firearm, which just can't happen. And so it goes from gunplay, wrong gunplay, bad gunplay, dangerous gunplay, and then things that just can't happen anymore.
Yeah, there's a TV show that I initially liked. I think it's called The Rookie, and it's about an older gentleman who becomes a cop. And I liked it in the first few episodes, but then they got into this thing where, like, all the bad guys always have machine guns all the time, which is just, you know, that just doesn't happen. So I got a little turned off, and it got super politically correct, and it was just, no, I'm done with this.
And that's what always ends up happening one way or another. Somebody has to have their own anti-gun personal views in the movies, which is, I guess, not surprising with Hollywood. But they like to make their money with using firearms, but they don't want anybody else to have any ability to have them or own them.
Well, Sean, let's start this list. And I've got the number one thing here that I see bad in movies and TV shows: fingers on the triggers all the time. It's in posters, it's in the trailers, it's in the movies. Every now and then you'll see somebody with their finger, you know, up on the slide on a handgun, so you know that somebody told them the right way to do it, but then the rest of the time their finger's in that trigger guard, fingers on the trigger, just standing around, running, whatever. Terrible, terrible idea. And you're a firearms instructor. Why do you not keep your finger on the trigger all the time, Sean?
Well, it's a violation of some of the most important gun rules. Number one is always keep the gun pointed in a safe direction. And number two is always keep your finger off the trigger until you're ready to use. Your trigger finger and your trigger can move involuntarily when you don't think about it. You move the rest of your hand and suddenly your finger's moving. You open a door with a gun in your hand. And if you're using your left hand, a lot of times your right hand will move. Also a light trigger. You never can really tell when you're involved and thinking about so many other things with a firearm, having your finger on the trigger, it could just go off it's natural for your finger to go on that trigger because that's what it's supposed to do, but not until you're ready to press the trigger and destroy something. And unfortunately, people forget this over and over again. And I know you and I have worked together on a number of different things. And every time we post anybody with a firearm, we have to make sure that the picture is accurate and safety is being displayed at all the times. I've even called up the NRA and say, hey, you better move that picture, take that picture off your website. The guy's got his finger on a trigger. But it's something that happens all the time. And that's how a lot of these negligent discharges occur. They don't intend for it to go off, but they're involuntarily pressing the trigger because they're doing something else with their finger on it. And when you're waving a gun around, it doesn't take much for, 3 pounds or 4 pounds of pressure to come off your trigger finger and press the trigger and the gun goes off.
Yeah. Sean, case in point, Alex Baldwin, I know that he got off. I don't know if there's any other legal action on that. He got off on that, but there's no way that gun went off by itself. He had his finger on the trigger when he was waving that gun around. And there were reports that he was literally waving it around, like pointing at things with that gun. And he had his finger on the trigger and somebody died.
If he would take a little less time in his anti-gun sentiments and took a gun training class, this never would have happened. Think about it. You and I both know, and I'm sure a lot of people listening, he was using an old cowboy revolver, so it's single action. The trigger does one thing. It drops the hammer. So in addition to pulling the trigger, pressing the trigger, he had to pull the hammer back. So he had to pull the hammer back volitionally, and he pulled the trigger somehow, either accidentally, intentionally, not thinking it was loaded. But you and I know you never, ever point a gun at another person and pull the trigger. I don't care what it is.
Yeah. And on those old revolvers, cowboy style revolvers, the triggers are really light sometimes, mm-hmm. you just look at them and they go off. That was how they were intended to work. So fingers on the triggers all the time in movies, terrible idea. Here's another one, Sean, and this one just makes me squirm, stuffing a gun in your pants without a holster. Okay, I know that it is popular now, appendix carry, so people are going around with guns down the front of their pants, but if you're going to do that, you have to have a holster. Talk about a bad ouchie. That is going to ruin your weekend if you have an accidental discharge with a gun in your pants. And there are two reasons, Sean, not to carry a gun that way without a holster. Number one, it might get caught on something like your shirt, or you might just inadvertently, put your finger in the trigger guard. The other thing is it just won't be secure if you're moving around. You see these stars in movies stick a gun down their pants. They have a fight. They run. They do all this action stuff. And somehow the gun just magically stays in place. That's not possible without a holster.
That's not reality, and it's so dangerous to think about it. You're putting it down the front, the back, your side of your pants, however you're doing that. It can get caught on any number of things, your shirt, your belt buckle going in, your undergarments, and then you're trying to pull it out. It can get caught on something else. As you're reaching down for it, you're trying to grab it, your finger is in the inside of the trigger guard, and all of a sudden it goes off. And I can't imagine. I've seen people do this all the time. Obviously, and I'm sure you've seen it, and I know you've done some citizens on patrol when they arrest somebody with a gun. 9 times out of 10, if it's a bad guy with a gun who shouldn't have a gun under disability, they don't have a holster. They just have it stuffed inside their belt. It makes me cringe. And I can't imagine anybody doing that, but they're ignorant about what they are doing and probably never thought about the consequences and how easy it is to negligently discharge when you don't have a holster guiding you.
Sean, here's another one. I love this one. This one's kind of an old one, shooting a gun out of the bad guy's hand. Now, I haven't seen that in a while, but if you watch some old Westerns or some old action films, you'll see somebody trying to shoot a gun out of somebody's hand and magically it works, right? They're a fantastic shot. That isn't a good idea.
Well, it's not reality, because if you think about it, you and I know the statistics that the best trained police officer in the world is only going to hit about 14% of the time. So given the fact that they're only hitting the person or what they're shooting at 14% of the time, can you imagine somebody that has the ability to shoot a gun out of another person's hand? I mean, I guess that's all for great for entertainment purposes. But again, someone's going to think that's the way I'm going to disarm somebody, and that's the way I'm going to defend myself. And then the worst is going to happen. But again, that kind of makes you laugh. And I guess it adds for entertainment ability, but much more than that, it's not well advised. Number one, if you want to stay alive yourself, and number two, you're not going to be able to do that.
Yeah, my thing is that your gun should never come out unless you think that you're about to be severely harmed or killed. So why are you screwing around with something like that? Either you need your gun or you don't. Don't mess around with trying to shoot a gun out of somebody's hand, for goodness sake. That's the time when you should be aiming center mass and taking care of business.
That's correct. 100% of the time, my gun will never come out unless I have to use it, because I always tell people in my lectures that as soon as you pull a gun, guess what? Somebody's in fear of death or serious bodily injury or harm. And if nobody had the intention of pulling a gun, well, now they are. So you have to make sure that when you pull that firearm, you're ready to use it, and it's absolutely necessary, because it'll cause far more problems than you can get away with.
Here's one, Sean. Racking the slide at the last moment. Now, I see this with pistols. I also see something similar with shotguns. And the way it usually goes down in a movie is, you know, a cop or somebody is sneaking around in a building. They find the person they're looking for. There's some dramatic dialogue. And then at the last moment, they rack the slide, which means they weren't ready to shoot. And I guess that's sort of movie language for, okay, now I really mean it. You know,
I think you're right. And on top of racking the slide, you know, that's ill-advised, because in a active threatening encounter, you're not going to have the time to remember you need to rack the slide. That's been a problem. You're pressing the trigger and it's going to click. But what's even funnier in these movies, when they're racking the slides and racking their shotguns more than once during the same scene, it's hilarious how many times they do that. I think one of the funniest things, if you remember Blues Brothers, when they get up top of the tax department and they're surrounded by police, there must be 100 officers. All in unison, everybody racks their slide and pulls their hammers back. So that's what kind of Joe Biden didn't. He wanted you to shoot a couple shots out the window to scare people away.
Yeah, get out on the balcony and shoot a couple shots. That's even dumber, but we won't get into that.
No.
How about one-handed shooting? I see this all the time. Now, sometimes you might have to shoot one-handed if you're training. You know, when I've done training, I've trained to shoot with just the right hand, just the left hand. But ordinarily, you want to get both hands. If we're talking about a pistol, you want to get both hands on the pistol. You don't want to do one-handed shooting, right?
Oh, you're absolutely right. For a couple of different reasons. You have accuracy, number one. Two-handed grip and whatever stance you want to take is much better and much easier for you to handle the firearm. And then also, if you're shooting a pistol, you have to make sure you have a good, strong grip on that, because don't forget, you have a slide that's going to come back after you press the trigger. Well, if you limp wrist it and you don't have that gun held tightly enough, it's going to jam, and you're going to have a lot more problems after that. So physically, it's kind of hard to do. Mechanically, it's almost even impossible, I would say, to keep enough strength on something to keep that slide running and operating. So that's not advisable also. But like you said, there are times where your other hand could be injured, or you have to keep holding a child or some other thing like that. But it's not advised to shoot one-handed unless you absolutely have to and you don't have a choice.
Now, Sean, I think I know why they do it like this in movies, because movies are all about drama. And if you're paying some star $10 or $20 million to be in the movie, you know, you want to see their face. That's where a lot of the acting comes from. So if you're shooting properly, both of your arms are up, your head is you know, on those sights, you might be concealing your face a little bit depending on the camera angle. So the one-handed shooting opens up the face and makes it more dramatic. Okay, I get that. But it's amazing how accurate they can be when they're shooting one-handed. You know, they're running and shooting one-handed and amazingly hitting the target.
I can't imagine running or moving much at all and be able to hit any target. I participated in IDPA competitions where, you know, the key is moving, but that's in a controlled environment when nobody's shooting back and I'm not running out of wind. And you're right. I mean, it's almost impossible to accomplish those tasks.
So Sean, here's another one. And we were talking about this just right before the podcast, this cup and saucer hold that we see. You don't see it as much anymore, but you just do still see it when someone's holding a revolver or a pistol in one hand, and then they get the other hand sort of in a cup underneath rather than a proper hold. This is something I think that comes from the 50s and 60s, 70s, and it still pops up, which tells me that there are really bad trainers in Hollywood if they're allowing the actors to hold guns that way, because nobody trains that anymore. When was the last time you trained that, Sean, or did you ever?
I never trained it, and I've been teaching basic pistol, rifle, and shotgun probably for 20 years. And early on, when people would come into the range, even though I've instructed them of the proper grip before we even get there, I had a surprising number of people that used the cup and saucer, or I used to say the Charlie's Angels grip, because the girls in Charlie's Angels always used it, and that used to drive my point home. That you can't do that. But, you know, there's a point in time when that was probably a well-meaning, accurate way to shoot. Obviously, as we've evolved as shooters and we've gotten better and more accurate, you know, you use proper grips. And that's never been a grip that I've seen, at least for the last 30 or 40 years. But I can imagine some police officers in the 40s and 50s with their 38 specials, those little snub-nosed revolvers, thinking they can't have a two-handed grip, so they decided to go with the cup and saucer.
And you know, this is an audio podcast. We can't demonstrate the correct grip the way I was taught. And I did a lot of training at Tactical Defense Institute, and I was trained that you want that grip up as high as possible, up as close to the axis of the barrel as possible, so that you're eliminating the leverage that the gun has when it shoots. And you want as much skin on the gun as possible. So you want to basically just envelop that gun as much as you can and get the grip up really high so that the energy from the gun goes straight back in your arms and isn't making the gun pop up and jump up. It's hard to describe that. You have to really show somebody. But that's what's really wrong with the cup and saucer hold. I guess the idea is, you know, guns are heavy, so you're kind of helping your other arm out a little bit and holding it up and carrying the weight, I suppose. But there's not a lot of control from that. It's just a bad hold.
No, you're right. It is a bad hold. There's going to be a tremendous amount of muzzle flip. The muzzle is going to come back, and then your second follow-up shot is going to take a lot longer because you have to get the gun back close to being on target. So you're right. You want your grip as high as you possibly can to avoid a muzzle flip. Stay in control. You want to be behind the firearm at all times. That way your follow-up shot and successive shots are going to be just as accurate as your first one.
So Sean, here's one. This all the time. I see this all the time. Movies, TV shows, everywhere. Unlimited ammo. You know, these 20-shell shotguns and 15-shot revolvers. I was watching a Terminator movie the other day, and there was this person trying to shoot a Terminator with a shotgun, and I had to back it up, watch it again, 13 shots out of what appeared to be a regular, not even a tactical shotgun, just a regular shotgun. 13 shells must have been in that shotgun, Sean. I don't. Is there a 13-shot shotgun out there?
Not to my knowledge, especially. Can you imagine how long the tube would have to be on your shotgun to hold that many? Now, maybe you have a drum or something like that, but obviously they weren't in drums. And I know exactly what you're talking about. Terminator cited, you know, the endless amount of shots. And if you think about Sylvester Stallone's First Blood, when he had the M60 and he's shooting the town up with it, well, you know, he had a small bandolier belt around his neck, of course, but he probably shot 2,000 rounds before it was all over, and you never saw anybody reload.
Yeah.
So Hollywood is famous for that. They like that noise. They like the action, but it's unrealistic when it comes down to mechanically how things are supposed to operate.
Yeah, and honestly, Sean, I'm not one of these guys that's, you know, constantly rolling my eyes or constantly criticizing. I want to enjoy the movie. It's drama. But I just, as a gun guy, I just can't help seeing all this stuff. I have one more. Shooting from the hip. Now, this is another one. This is like the idea of the one-handed shooting. I think that they do the shooting from the hip because you have stars. You want to see her face. And if you have a rifle, the proper way to hold that, you get it up on your shoulder, you have the cheek weld, you're covering up the face. And the face is where like 90% of the acting comes from. So you don't want to cover up your $20 million star that you recruited to be in this movie. And so people are shooting from the hip, and amazingly, they're hitting their targets.
I can understand somebody shooting from the hip with a shotgun, and I've seen that done successfully and while hunting. In fact, I've reacted and shot successfully from the hip. But again, there also is nobody downrange when you're shooting from the hip with a rifle. How in the world do you know where those rounds are going to go? I can't imagine. I guess you can spray and pray or watch where you're, the holes you're putting in the wall, if there's a wall behind it, and you can try to get on target that way. But again, not only are you shooting inaccurately, but you're responsible for everything that leaves that barrel. And I can't imagine the collateral damage and the innocent victims in somebody repeatedly firing a rifle or a handgun or even a shotgun from the hip. Again, it's good for TV, but not good for real life.
One shot, instant kill. I've been seeing this in movies since I was a kid. It's in World War II movies. It's in cop shows. It's in action films. It's in thrillers, sci-fi. One shot, instant kill. You shoot somebody, they fall down, they're dead. Just like that. Now, Sean, if you shoot someone in the head, maybe. If you shoot somebody in the spine, okay, the lights just go off. But generally, you're trained to shoot center mass. This is not how bullets work. Bullets don't just flip a switch and make you dead instantly. Bullets, it's a little graphic, sorry, but bullets are made to make you bleed. Bullets make you unconscious through exsanguination. In other words, they hit a blood vessel, they tear up tissue, you bleed to the point where oxygen isn't going to your brain and you pass out. That's how bullets are designed to work. This one-shot instant kill thing, you see it all the time.
It doesn't work that way. It doesn't even come close to working that way. And a number of people I've represented over the years, both with Second Coat Defense and in private practice as a criminal defense attorney or cases I've been involved with, it's not uncommon for a bad guy with a gun to come in, point the gun at the person behind the cash register. There was one situation where that happened, and the husband of the woman running the cash register was off to the right, pulled his firearm, shot the bad guy right through the heart. The bad guy chose to run out the door. He ran for a half of a city block before he bled out and died. Now, he could have stayed there and emptied his gun. People get shot in the shoulder, and they keep moving and keep going on with life. That's terribly painful. You're not going to move on with life. There's so much stuff that can happen, but you can be incapacitated. But again, it takes blood loss. It takes blood filling up the lungs. It takes some reason that your body can't function anymore and your brain doesn't have the oxygen anymore. So, and there's any number of people that make it to the emergency room and survive gunshots that you can't imagine they did. But it's human body is pretty viable, and it takes some damage to put somebody down and kill them. So it's not going to be one shot, one kill. Be ready for 2, 3, and 4. Be ready to take cover, because it just doesn't happen that way.
Yeah, my understanding is most people who are shot survive because of modern medicine. If an emergency vehicle gets to you, you're stabilized, you're taken to the hospital, most of the time you're going to survive unless those shots are placed so well that you die on the scene.
Nationwide, you're going to find that a lot of the reasons why there's less and less gun deaths is because medicine is so good. You're so right. You get the paramedic there, and chances are you're going to live to the hospital.
So here's another one, Sean. And involves hearing protection. This one's kind of personal to me because I didn't know anything about hearing protection when I was young. It wasn't from shooting guns. It was from being in a band. I was a drummer, and nobody had hearing protection. Nobody talked about it. And I have a little bit of tinnitus now because of that. But you see this in movies all the time. no hearing protection, but nobody goes deaf, right? Guns going off all over the place, and nobody's like, what? What? What did you say? In real life, Sean, you know, guns are very loud, and you're going to have a reaction to that. You're going to be deaf for a little while, and you might have permanent hearing loss.
I know a number of individuals that are Vietnam War veterans and Iraqi War veterans, and they have some tinnitus, and that's from the amount of rounds that they shot without hearing protection. And I've been hunting since I was a very small lad. And we didn't duck hunting and pheasant hunting. We never wore hearing protection. But I can tell you, I've been in closed structures without hearing protection and the gun went off. It's debilitating. I've been in the woods and a buddy of mine has shot at a grouse about 12 inches from the side of my head. And when it goes off, it brings it to your knees. It's so debilitating. You have to have hearing protection and to survive otherwise. Like you said, with tinnitus, ruptured eardrums, and to be able to just function when it's that loud in a closed structure, it can't happen that way. And that's another thing that Hollywood seems to ignore, and no hearing protection. I don't, you know, and I'm at fault as a kid hunting. I never wore hearing protection, but I'm lucky, but I have several friends that aren't. And for any of you out there who have shot firearms and your ears are ringing, you know what it's like.
Once, Sean, once and only once. I was at an outdoor range, and for whatever reason, I was shooting a 22. I just forgot to put on my hearing protection, and I went up to the line, shot once, realized my mistake, and 22s have a real high-pitched crack. It hurt. It was like a spear going through my head. That was the only time and the last time I made that mistake, because it was painful.
It is. Like I said, it can bring you to your knees. It hurts so bad and it's so loud. And then it takes, you know, a half hour, an hour for your hearing to return to normal, if, you know, it ever really does return to normal.
So here's another one. This is a really popular one. You see this all the time. Walls and cars, bulletproof, right? You see people taking cover behind a car door, or you see somebody with their back against a wall in a house. They're not bulletproof. You know, unless you have like block walls in your house, or unless you're in a tank, you're not going to have bulletproof cars or bulletproof walls. One thing about cars, Sean, you know, like the old Model Ts or even some of the muscle cars from the 50s, the metal used to be a lot thicker. I don't think they would stop bullets. But these days, the metal in an ordinary car is not even a millimeter thick. It is very, very thin. That door may look thick, but it's just thin metal on the outside and maybe some sort of extruded plastic for the inside part of it. It's not going to stop a round of ammunition. Bullets are going to go right through that car door and probably go right through the car and through the other car door.
We have to distinguish between cover and concealment. Concealment hides you. A car door will hide you. Standing, taking cover behind an engine block of an automobile will work, but confusing concealment and cover are totally different things. And you're right. If you can even find a door made out of steel, drywall is not going to stop a round. It won't slow it down, but it's not going to stop it. So you have to make sure that if you're defending yourself in your own home and you have children and you're in your bedroom, make sure that you know which direction your kids are in. There's a lot to think of because drywall, your door, any number of things are not going to stop a bullet from penetrating and going through the other side. So if you're hiding behind the wall or hiding behind the door, don't for a second be surprised when you get hit, because you're going to get hit.
Yeah, the most homes, it's what's called balloon construction. You know, you have 2x4s, and they're, let's say that you have, I don't know, 1/4-inch plywood on the outside, you know, aluminum siding on top of that. On the inside, you have the drywall, and then some paint, some insulation. Bullets are going to go right through that. And you've had instances with second call defense, Sean, right, where gunshots have gone out of one house and into another house.
Actually, on 4 occasions. All happened the same way. Someone just got done cleaning their firearm, and for some reason, when they're in the process of putting it in their safe or lockbox, their fingers on the trigger, there's a negligent discharge, and it doesn't go out their windows. It's going out their house into the next door neighbor's house through the wood. You're exactly right. It goes outside the wall and then enters the other home. Now, fortunately, in all four of those cases, nobody's home. But can you imagine having to wait for your neighbors to get home to apologize for the hole in their kitchen?
Yeah, that is not a good day. Sean, here's another one. This one's kind of funny, but it's a basic lesson, I think, in physics, where you see bullets making people fly backwards through the air. You know, someone gets shot with a shotgun, with a pistol, whatever, and suddenly they're lifted up off the ground, they fly across the room or fly out a window. Basic physics applies here. If you have a 9mm handgun and you've got, say, a 115-grain bullet, that bullet weighs, and I looked this up, by the way, 0.016 pounds. Now, I don't know how heavy you are, Sean. I'm about 195 pounds. A bullet that weighs 0.016 pounds, no matter how fast it's going, it's not going to lift me off the ground and make me travel across the room, right? The other thing is, if somebody's shooting that, if it has that much force, Newton taught us that every action has an equal and opposite reaction. Well, if you're flying across the room, what about the person firing the gun? Why aren't they flying backwards as well?
You're so right. It, that's one of the funniest things. It just doesn't happen that way. I've seen films as a criminal defense attorney where people are being shot mostly point blank range. You can't even tell they're shot unless it hits a vital organ, and until they bleed out, you have no idea. People say, "Well, why'd you shoot so many times?" Because the guy didn't stop. He kept coming forward. I think it would probably take a cannonball or a bowling ball to hit someone in the chest and knock them backwards. I can't imagine. I mean, bullets penetrate. Even in a when a bullet hits a bulletproof vest, the vest is absorbing the energy. It's taking the energy. It's hurting, but you never see anybody flying backwards or really even taking a step backwards. So, but you're so right. But again, I guess that's good drama, but it's just not going to happen that way. So folks, if you're defending yourself and you think one shot's going to do it, it's not going to do it. You need to stop. You need to shoot until the threat stops. And I don't know what's going to stop that threat. It may take enough time to bleed out, or certainly a ocular cavity shot between the eyes or something like that could do it. But in all reality, in a self-defense shooting, it's not going to be one shot and it's over with.
Sean, how about bad guys with hopelessly inaccurate aim? I was watching a movie the other night, and there was somebody running down a hallway, a very narrow hallway, and there were two or three bad guys shooting at this person, missing and missing and missing and missing. The good guy gets to the end of the hallway, turns around, bang, 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 shoots the good guys, has amazing aim, right? It's almost impossible to miss somebody in a hallway when you're shooting. You know, even if you're not trained at all, you're probably going to hit something. The bad guys just aren't going to have that bad of aim. And most self-defense situations happen up really close, you know,
you're right,
within arm's distance. So, you know, don't expect bad guys to have aim that's that bad. Maybe if they're across the street, but not if they're right on top of you.
Normally, bad guys, because they have the jump and they're intending to shoot right from the beginning, and they're offensive, not defensive, they're more accurate. And certainly running down the hallway, where if you just keep it in between the walls, you're going to hit something. But there's been cases where, like you said, arm's length, bad guys or good guys are missing just alike. But, you know, it just doesn't happen that way. When you're putting that much lead downrange, somebody's going to get hit. But again, I guess that makes for good theater. And certainly Hollywood's overlooking the psychological and physical aspects of a threatening encounter, with the adrenaline dump, with the running and your heart beating. And heck, you can't even hold your arm still on a normal day if you're done running and with all that adrenaline going on, let alone being able to hit accurately like that when you turn around.
How about this thing that you see with guns going off when they're dropped? And this is not just in movies and TV shows, Sean. We see this in articles where it will report on, you know, somebody claims that they dropped a firearm and it went off and they were very startled that it went off. And we know for a fact that that is not what happened, right?
One of my favorite movies, a MAC-10 is flipping down the stairs in an Uzi, and every revolution it's shooting automatic fire. And that just can't happen. I've been around people that have dropped guns, guns have fallen out when they're carrying them, and they don't do that. They just don't go off like that. And even when they try to drop your gun, and so they try to drop the gun and then shoot the bad guy with it. Guns, at least in the last half of the century, certainly probably three quarters of a century, are designed where that doesn't happen anymore. You know, maybe in 1940s and 1950s, they didn't have drop safeties, but there's not a firearm that's been made probably since past 1960 that's going to go off when you drop it.
When you see these articles in the newspaper that said somebody dropped a gun and it went off, here's how you should read it. I had my finger on the trigger. It went off. Then I dropped it because I was so startled. So they might believe that it went off when they dropped it, but that is not the way it happened. They're just embarrassed, or they just perceived it incorrectly and they're not remembering.
Dean, I can tell you a case I had. I got a phone call. The police were coming because the gentleman was unholstering his firearm from a day of work. And it just went off. I said, how did it go off? He said, I dropped it and went off. And I said, you're lying to me. What kind of gun was it? He said, a Glock 26. I said, you're lying to me. Where'd it go? He said, it hit right beside the light switch. I said, you de-holstered your gun and you thought it was empty. You thought you didn't have one in the chamber and you decided to dry fire at the light switch, didn't you? There was silence for 5 seconds and then he admitted it and said, yes. So guns don't go off. If someone telling you dropped it and went off, your BS meter should go off immediately because they just don't want to tell you the truth.
And here's another one, Sean, and you see this quite a bit in movies. Fountains of blood when you're shot, right? The bullet hits somebody and all of a sudden the blood is just spurting all over the place. Now, the way they do that in movies is they have something called a blood squib. Or they want a lot of blood. They'll have like a little tube in there with collared, like corn syrup or something like that, that's squirting out. That doesn't happen. Even if you hit an artery, it takes time for the blood to start coming out. It doesn't, you're not just like a balloon filled with blood and you hit it and it explodes outward. As you've said a couple times, you can't always tell when you hit somebody.
No, and very rarely. Is there especially with hollow point ammunition, 9mm or something like that, is there going to be a wound where it's going to create a wound channel and go all the way through the body? A rifle, sure, that's going to happen. But I've seen countless numbers of autopsy photos. I've been at crime scenes when there's basically no blood. You can see it looks like a pencil hole in a chest cavity, and there's no blood anywhere. There may be some bruising, but very seldom, unless, of course, if you hit an artery, and the arm or a leg, or certainly the neck, that's going to happen. But in the vast majority of cases, there's very little to no blood.
Well, here's the last one, Sean. And this one's a little technical, but you see people hugging a wall when they're clearing a structure or sneaking around. They've got their back up to the wall. They come up to a door or a corner, and then all of a sudden they jump out into the open to see if there's, you know, a bad guy there. That is absolutely the wrong way to do it. And I can't tell you the right way to do it on this podcast, but I've had training, and I can tell you where you need to go to figure out the right way to do this. Tactical Defense Institute, right, in Lower Ohio. This is something that's really hard to understand unless you actually go through the training, but you do not hug a wall when you're trying to clear a structure or sneak around, because what you're going to end up doing is exposing your gun before you can see anything, or your head's going to be exposed before you can see anything. There's a right way to do it, and they never do it right in the movies. Never.
Never at all. And whether you're going to use the pie technique of pieing a door frame or dipping in and out of a door frame like TDI trains, the last thing you want to do is jump in front of a door, because guess what? If the bad guy's standing there, he already has a gun up to his shoulder or extended and is just waiting for somebody to walk in front of the door. So I guess that'd be one of the quickest ways to get killed if you wanted to do that. But you're so right. There's various different techniques used to clear a room, to clear your house. And with the armed teachers we have through FASTER training, there's a whole new way to carry your gun going down the hall full of children. But certainly hugging a wall and then stepping out in the doorframe to take a peek isn't the way to do it.
Well, Sean, I think we've covered quite a few of these misconceptions and mistakes and everything that we see in movies and TV shows. This has been kind of fun.
It has been. There's so many more out there. I could send you to different movies and different films to watch it, but try not to ruin the movie for everybody else around you, but silently sit and watch what's going on with firearms in the movies. Because if you have any kind of training or understand gun safety, you're going to see mistake after mistake. And do what I do. Every time someone starts pressing a trigger, start counting. And then look at your wife or your husband and say, he just shot 17 times and never reloaded. And it was a revolver.
Yeah. Well, Sean, thanks for spending some time with us again. Where can people reach you if they have any questions?
My cell phone is 513-484-0142. My office direct is 513-463-0073. And please ask me before you act. It's always better to at least let me advise you yes or no before you do something stupid. I always tell my friends, why do you wait until after you do it to call me?
Well, thanks, Sean, and we'll talk to you again soon. That's all for this episode of Keep and Bear Radio. If you enjoyed the podcast, I urge you to subscribe. And please subscribe to the Buckeye Firearms Association newsletter at buckeyefirearms.org. If you'd like to become a member and support the work of BFA, go to joinbfa.org. Use the discount code PODCAST to get $10 off your membership. That's joinbfa.org. We'll see you next time on Keep and Bear Radio.
You're listening to Resolution Radio, ResolutionRDO.com.
When I was a kid, I wanted to be just like Cal Ripken. It's definitely humbling to know that now people are calling me a hero. Instead of finding the IED with my metal detector, the IED found me first, and that resulted in double above-knee amputations. It's hard to describe the feeling of meeting somebody that you've always wanted to be like. There are people now that are looking up to you for their inspiration and to be their role model.
Visit saluteheroes.org to learn more.
The Honorable Cause of Free South is a collection of 12 essays written by Southern nationalist authors. The book explores topics such as what is the Southern nation, what is Southern nationalism, and how can we achieve a free and independent Dixie. The Honorable Cause answers questions on our own terms. The book invites readers to understand for themselves why a free and independent Dixie is both preferable and possible. The book pulls in some of the biggest producers of pro-South content, including James Edwards, the host and creator of The Political Cesspool, and Wilson Smith, author of Charlottesville Untold, Arkansas congressional candidate and activist Neil Kumar, host and creator of the Dissident Mama podcast, Rebecca Dillingham, author of A Walk in the Park, My Charlottesville Story, Identity Dixie's Patrick Martin, and yours truly, Michael Hill, founder and president of the League of the South, as well as several other authors. The Honorable Cause is available now at Amazon.com.
In the early 1900s, certain companies were off-gassing highly toxic fluoride gases into the atmosphere. The surrounding communities began to get sick. Laws were enacted to compel these corporations to install scrubbers to convert these gases into fluorosilicic acid, still highly toxic but containable. Now these companies had a stockpile of this poison, and there was no affordable way to dispose of it. Lucky for them, one of their major stockholders was also the Secretary of the Treasury, who was responsible for the Public Health Service at the time. And by 1950, the U.S. government began buying this toxic, untreated industrial waste product and dumping it into our drinking water. Reputable studies show that it's causing various cancers and other disease. With the Alexa Pure Pro, you can have clean drinking water and a remedy to this madness. Available now at InfoWarsStore.com.
It's easy to see. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. We all know something big is coming, and that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming more self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. My Patriot Supply is the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, and they make it easy for you to prepare. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure some emergency food kits. There's a dozen to choose from that contain tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. My Patriot Supply also sells large solar generators, gravity-powered water filtration systems, heirloom seeds for your garden, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your items will ship that same day. Time is short. Prepare today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
I love the America!
However you slice it, America is intentionally under attack by many incarnations of foreign infiltration.
It's not Genocide Joe that has to go. It's the entire system that has to go.
Whether it's the blunt, dull force of the open jihad growing within the interior of the United States.
Quote, almost immediately after the October 7th attack, people were celebrating in the streets in Dearborn.
Why can't you just say whether or not you condemn people chanting death to America? Why are you afraid to talk to Fox?
Fox News, listen, using racist tropes towards my community is what Fox News is about, and I don't talk to Fox News.
Is death to America racist?
Or the hordes of bloodthirsty Haitians storming the beaches of Florida.
Florida's governor deploying more patrols to the state's southern coast and plans to install new leadership in Haiti appears to be crumbling.
And even the U.S. Marines are being sent into Haiti to help secure the U.S. embassy there. But in the worst areas where that chaos is happening, we know that there are a number of U.S. citizens that are literally stranded.
Or the now rampant looting of the United States infrastructure. That has no end in sight.
Six additional buses arrived at the Port Authority bus terminal overnight.
This comes after 14 buses arrived from Texas.
Tonight, another major U.S. city, San Diego, buckling as it grapples with a growing number of migrants. Border Patrol dropping off hundreds of people at local bus stops from as far away as China.
No country comes remotely close to executing the art of war as China does with its methodical, creeping disintegration warfare being waged on the United States of America. Author Peter Schweitzer writes that disintegration warfare, in the Chinese leader's words, is going after the United States' soft underbelly in terms of politics, economics, and the spirit and psychology of its people. Disintegration warfare is based on the ancient Chinese strategist and general Sun Tzu's teachings on how to win a war without fighting. The strategy is aimed at undermining a rival country's, quote, national will, values, and cohesion, end quote. A Chinese immigrant who is now a U.S. congressional candidate has warned Americans not to underestimate China's use of soft power to infiltrate the United States and achieve global dominance.
I know what no freedom of speech is what I'm all about. I know what big government is all about.
China is investigating and logging every weakness in American national security it can find.
China is buying up some American farmland. The question is China doing that to spy on the U.S. military?
What we're seeing now is a continuing trend and an uptick in these intrusions.
According to the Wall Street Journal, the FBI, Department of Defense, and others have been conducting a year-long investigation into so-called gate crashers. It's happening all over the U.S., according to the report. In Florida, Chinese scuba divers were caught swimming in dirty water near a government rocket launch site. In New Mexico, the gate crashers attempted to breach a missile launch location. Officials even caught Chinese nationals leaving a tour of the White House, attempting to take photos of Secret Service and communications equipment.
Meanwhile, the Chinese are pouring fuel on the fire of gang violence that is tearing cities apart. As Breitbart reports, cities such as St. Louis continue to devolve into war zones. This, in large part, to the fact that the communist Chinese government has been flooding the United States with illicit gun parts.
A penny-sized device can turn a semi-automatic weapon into one that can fire up to 1,100 bullets a minute with one pull of the trigger. ATF agent Tony Pierce demonstrated the machine gun conversion device, commonly known as a Glock switch, at a gun range in Slidell.
With the regular Glock setup in semi-automatic, it's much easier to control the shots because you have time to allow the weapon to cycle, and you're able to control your recoil.
The weapon is harder to handle when it's fully automatic using the illegal switch.
A lot of times on the street, guys are shooting with one hand, and to try to control this with just one hand would be nearly impossible. And you're going to have innocent bystanders in the background and the foreground who could also get hit by this.
Records reveal that between 2019 and 2021, there was a rise of 4,200% in incidents involving machine gun fire in 130 American cities. The Chinese flooding of third world America with Glock switches, ensuring that the mass murder of innocent civilians will eventually lead to sweeping gun control legislation. Solution? Close the border today. To John Barrow, for InfoWars.
Please stand by for further details. We return you now to your regularly scheduled program.
I know, as viewers and listeners, you've heard callers call in and talk about how X3 has changed their life. You've heard listeners talk about how incredible 10-Hour Clean Energy Turbo Force is. Well, both products are back in stock right now. In fact, X3 has been sold out for more than 6 months, but despite that, it is 40% off because I want the people who have never tried the product to try it. Our regular listeners and the folks that have already tried it are chomping at the bit to get it. We appreciate them. But less than 1% of you ever buy a product at InfoWarsStore.com. Go there. Try X3. Get the missing link that's essential to all electrochemical activity in your body. This is the purest, highest quality triiodine out there. You owe it to yourself to get a bottle and experience it for yourself. Takes a few weeks to kick in. On average, get X3.
Katie Armour raised the standard. Finally, AR-500 steel core body armor that comfortably conforms to the chest and torso. Unique design distributes weight, feeling lighter, increases mobility, and lessens fatigue. Introducing the Combat Quad Bend CQB, a revolutionary plate forming process that caters to the end user. The CQB is an industry game changer, a must-have for the ladies. Available now, only at katiearmour.com, CATIarmour.com. Come and take it.
In a recent interview with Clayton Morris on Redacted, U.S. Border Patrol agent turned filmmaker J.J. Carroll discussed his new documentary and the fact that prison facilities are being built in all 50 states to hold millions of political dissidents.
And there's detention facility bids to build individual detention facilities in every state in the union. And then she goes on to say to me, "Well, JG, who do you think they're built for?" And she says in this interview, they're for dissidents, American dissidents.
The FEMA camps were reported decades ago. This was never an outrageous conspiracy theory. The U.S. government has been framing American patriots as the enemy for decades. And the reason should be obvious. Those who have been in control of the U.S. government for generations have no interest in serving the people in accordance to the Constitution or otherwise. Our country is being destroyed from within, and the rule of law has been weaponized against those who defend it. Hundreds of innocent Americans have been arrested and thrown in jail because they chose to peacefully protest the 2020 stolen election. And others, such as Jeremy Brown, a Green Beret who was approached in late 2020 by federal agents trying to recruit him for the Jan 6 false flag operation, was arrested after going public with this information by the same federal agents. He was put in maximum security prison, where he remains to this day, his 1,000th day in federal prison. Hundreds of innocent Americans have been in jail for years, and several have been tortured. Much of America is okay with the fact that hundreds are rotting in jail for a peaceful protest. It's already become the norm. While it's definitely worth celebrating the release of Julian Assange, the American people have never been more divided. The Daily Mail reports that more than 40% of Americans think a new civil war will be fought within the next decade. According to one poll, more than 4 in 10 U.S. voters say the country is likely to get ripped apart in a second civil war within 5 years. And another shows that over 100 million Americans say that civil war is coming. Based on the recommendation of think tank Policy Horizons, Canada has been preparing for an American civil war, including cyber attacks and grid failures following the 2024 presidential election. The soldiers of the New World Order are not going to die easy. They are apparently willing to spark a nuclear conflict with Russia and are already writing new laws to bring back the draft.
So women have never been required to register for the draft, but that could soon change thanks to lawmakers on Capitol Hill.
Martha, good morning. The Senate version of the National Defense Authorization Act, which sets out military and national security priorities, would require women to register for selective service. It concludes, quote, "This is a necessary and fair step, making it possible to draw on the talent of a unified nation in a time of national emergency." Now, there are two different versions of this bill, one in the House, one in the Senate, so it's possible women in the draft could get dropped as lawmakers iron out the differences.
So while women may get dropped from this bill, our government is bringing back the draft while provoking a major war with Russia. They have their bunkers, and they've already jailed hundreds for protesting an election, so they'll definitely jail draft dodgers and everyone else who stands in their way, unless we unite against them. Reporting for InfoWars, this is Greg Reese. Thank you for watching the latest Greg Reese Report. Be sure to go to reesereport.com to see my latest videos, sign up for my free newsletter, and subscribe for exclusive content. And be sure to support my sponsor at InfoWarsStore.com.
While other networks lie to you about what's happening now, InfoWars tells you the truth about what's happening next.
Omega-3 fatty acids are needed for optimal strength, and they can only be obtained through diet. They can be found in grass-fed beef, which is why the ruling class is trying to ban it. And they can be found in fish, which are arguably the best source of omega-3s. But the problem today is finding fish without a high mercury content. Your best option is our Ultimate Fish Oil and Ultimate Krill Oil at InfoWarsStore.com. Omega-3 fatty acids are essential for both our neurological and cardiovascular systems, our brain and our heart. They improve mood, mental clarity, and immune function. Get your essential omega-3 fatty acids from the best sources available: Ultimate Fish Oil and Ultimate Krill Oil. Get some today at InfoWarsStore.com.
I meant what I fucking said. And now I got a bunch of people asking me, oh, what are we going to do? What should we do? Educate yourself. Spread the word. The United Nations has just declared war on the truth. They're telling you outright, if you speak up, you're a conspiracy theorist. Shouldn't be believed. Should be approached in a certain fashion. The authorities should be contacted and all kinds of neat shit. So they want war? Arm yourself with facts. Get out there and start telling the people. You don't want to do it on social media? Do it in person. Do it on the telephone. Do it like we used to do, standing around on the street corner having a coffee. Do you know who your enemy is? The World Economic Forum. 51 years they've been working at this. They've been planning and scheming, working as hard as they can. And now, here we are. Klaus Schwab has admitted that for over 45 years, they've been working directly with the CCP. Now here we are in Canada and the U.S. We got 5G, military grade 5G technology. right across the country. Where does it come from? Who owns that technology? And what's going to happen when they don't like it? Get to know your enemy. Get to know the facts. Speak the fuck up. Be a warrior. That's what we need to do, instead of following Marcus like a bunch of fucking sheep.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs. While you're waiting, drop by our Confederate Corner for a free cup of coffee and good conversation. Remember, there are no strangers here, just friends who haven't met yet. Dixie Republic, we're not just a roadside attraction, we're a destination for our people. For more information, visit DixieRepublic.com.